I just love to play. And, you know, I'm just not ready to not play. I think that's what it comes down to. I don't think anybody in here is crazy. You look at what the other teams are doing and they're creating separation. We're on the losing streak. We've pretty much fallen out of the race for the 10th spot, you know, unless we go out there and win every game. When you really look around and really look at it truthfully. So, I mean, right now, I'm just not ready to not play. Last season, I missed, I think, 52 games or something like that. So I love to play. I love the competition. And, you know, I just haven't been ready to give that up. But it does come a point in time where you look around and you like, you know, when do you stop putting your competitive nature out front and look at, you know, what a game of chess would look like at that point? You know, you got to make your decision based on that. So, man, we'll see.
Hey, Rip City. This is Justice Winslow, and it's time to open the briefcase with Casey Holdall.
Greetings, Blazer fans, and welcome to The Briefcase, episode 30 of The Briefcase, your podcast covering the Portland Trail Blazers and beyond in small digestible bits. I am your host, Casey Holdall. That was Damian Lillard after Portland's 117-102 loss to the Clippers Sunday night. Damian Lillard talking about continuing to play despite the fact the Blazers continue to struggle and have fallen further and further down the playoff table with about 11 games to play. We'll consider Damian's comments, what he means by playing chess, the state of the Portland Trail Blazers with a few weeks to go before the end of the regular season, and hear from Jeremy Grant on this edition of The Briefcase. Well, since it is the beginning of the week and since we didn't have an opportunity to podcast as much as I would have liked last week, let's just go ahead and set the scene right now going into the final couple weeks of the season. The Trailblazers have lost six straight to fall to 31-40 for the season with 11 games left to play. Portland is currently in 13th in the Western Conference standings, 16.5 games behind the first place Nuggets, 5 games behind the Mavericks in 6th, 3.5 games behind the Timberwolves, Lakers, and Jazz, who are all tied for the 8th, 9th, and 10th spots, and 3 games behind the Pelicans in 12th. On the other side of the table, the Blazers currently have the 6th worst record in the NBA. They're 1 game worse than the Pacers and Wizards, and 2.5 games better than the Magic. Portland's 2-8 record in their last 10 games is easily the worst mark in the West over that time period. Case in point, both the Spurs and the Rockets are 5-5 in their last 10 games. Those are the only two teams that are below Portland right now in the Western Conference standings. Portland has a bit of a light schedule this week. They have Monday and Tuesday off before facing the Jazz in Salt Lake City Wednesday night at 6 p.m. They then return home to host 5 straight games, starting with the Bulls on Friday, and then a Sunday afternoon game versus the Thunder at 4 p.m., which leads into the second game of a back-to-back versus the Pelicans on Monday. Worth noting that the Jazz, the Thunder, and the Pelicans are all around the Trailblazers in the Western Conference standings in that race for the 10th seed. I don't even know if we call it the 10th seed, actually, in that race for the last play-in tournament spot. So I think we'll have a pretty good idea in these next 4 games of just where the Trailblazers are going at this point in the season. I think it looks pretty obvious, obviously, having lost 6 games, kind of taking into account what Damian just mentioned there in the open, that the likelihood of making the postseason for the Trailblazers gets slimmer and slimmer with every single loss, but especially games versus the teams that are around you in the standing. So teams like the Jazz, teams like the Thunder, teams like the Pelicans. If you don't win those games, you can pretty much see the writing on the wall at that point. As for the advanced stats we've been tracking all season long here on The Briefcase, our first season of The Briefcase, by the way, thank you for joining us on this season and hopefully coming back next season. Blazers are 8th in offensive rating at 115.4 points scored per 100 possessions and are tied in 27th in defensive rating at 117.3 points allowed per 100 possessions. You subtract one of those from the other and you get Portland's net rating, which at -1.9 ranks 24th in the NBA. And more recently, the Trailblazers are 24th in offensive rating and 29th in defensive rating since the All-Star break. That post All-Star break rally that we've become accustomed to seeing from Damian Lillard-led teams over the years just has not materialized this season. In more bad news, the Blazers are now 33-37-1 versus the spread this season after failing to cover in 4 straight games. They were 3-point underdogs to the Pelicans and lost by 17, 3-point underdogs to the Knicks and lost by 16, 6.5-point underdogs to the Celtics and lost by 14, and most recently they were 4.5-point underdogs to the Clippers and lost by 15. The Blazers have rarely covered in losses this season, though they did cover in the loss to the 76ers, and that trend has continued during their current losing streak. And in the worst betting market news of all for the Blazers, as for the season over-unders, it seems all but certain that the Blazers will now fail to hit the over on their season win projection of 39.5 wins, something that seemed incredibly likely after they started the season by winning 12 of their first 15 games. With 31 wins, the Blazers would need to go 9-2 in their remaining 11 games to hit the over, and it's nearly impossible to see that happening considering the way the team is currently playing. Condolences to anyone who made that bet at the start of the season. It looked good. I was really pulling for you guys to hit the over. It's going to take a miracle at this point. And a reminder, as always, to please wager responsibly. Don't bet money you can't lose. It's always good advice. Well, as we've touched on basically every topic so far, rather than gearing up for a postseason push, the Blazers' 22-23 season seems to be winding down. Jeremy Grant has missed the last three games with a quad contusion, and the team announced last week that Justice Winslow had undergone, quote, bone marrow aspirate concentrate procedure at some point in this month, with the team saying that he would be reevaluated in the coming weeks. So at this point, I think it's fair to wonder if Grant will play again this season, and it seems more likely than not that Winslow, who hasn't played since suffering an ankle sprain on December 21st, 2022, is done for the year. Both those guys will be free agents this offseason, by the way. Which brings us to Damian Lillard. As you heard at the start of the show, Dame said that he's, quote, just not ready to not play, though he also noted that he might need to start, quote unquote, playing chess. And whenever Dame talks about playing chess, he's usually referring to doing something that he doesn't really want to do while also understanding that it might be the best option. You might remember that he said similar things when he finally accepted that he had to have surgery after playing through that core muscle injury for a couple seasons last year. So when might Dame and the Blazers start playing chess? Well, they're 3.5 games back from 10th, the final spot in the play-in tournament, with 11 games to play. And while it might be unlikely that they can make up that much ground, especially with the way they've been playing as of late, it also seems like the prospect of being mathematically eliminated is still a ways off. If they go into Utah, one of the teams in the three-way tie at the bottom of the play-in race, and get a win, and then follow that up with a win at home versus the Bulls, a team that only has two more wins than the Blazers do, then I would imagine that that extends a competitive part of their season out for at least another week. But if they lose those two games, especially the game in Utah, that's probably a wrap. You have to also consider that it's not only that they're 3.5 games back from the last spot in the play-in, but they would have to jump at this point three teams in order to get into the 10th spot. You also have to consider, too, with so many teams being that close, tiebreakers are going to come into play. And actually, maybe this might be a surprise to people, but Portland is actually not doing that bad in the tiebreakers race with the teams that are near them at the bottom of the Western Conference standings. The series versus the Timberwolves is still to be determined, as is the series versus the Jazz, if I'm not mistaken. I think they tied the series with the Lakers. They still have one more game to play versus the Pelicans, in which they could tie that series as well. So the tiebreakers are still very much up for grabs. But when you factor in that the Blazers have to make up 3.5 games, and they have to pass teams just to validate the possibility of those tiebreakers, again, it just becomes more and more difficult to see a path to where they qualify for the play-in, let alone make the playoffs, considering the way that they've been playing. You also have to wonder how that affects the other guys on the roster if the Blazers go from being unlikely to making the playoffs to almost assuredly not making the playoffs to being mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. Specifically, in terms of Anfernee Simons and Yusuf Nurkic, particularly Nurk, who missed quite a bit of time this season already due to injury. Does he get sat down? Ant, who only missed a couple games and is probably still dealing with some lingering effects from that ankle sprain. I don't know what decision they decide with him either. They obviously have quite a few young guys on the team who are playing regular minutes now, who they would probably like to see get more minutes at the end of the season if they become mathematically eliminated from making the postseason. But in some respects, they're already playing those guys a lot, so maybe they just generally try to keep their rotation intact. Seems a little unlikely to me. Obviously, I know a lot of people would like to see some of these younger guys play more. I know that there has always been a desire to see Shane Sharp play more minutes. I would imagine that that is probably going to happen here in the last couple weeks of the season, so something to obviously pay attention to there. I think they'd like to see more minutes out of Jabari Walker. I think they'd like to see Keon Johnson get some more minutes. I think they'd still like to see what they have in Cam Reddish and see how he functions throughout the end of this season. I imagine he's a guy, too, who, after not playing for so long at the end of his stint in New York, that he will continue to play out the rest of the season regardless. I think they've seen fits and starts from Kevin Knox, maybe a little more of that as well, and maybe even get John Butler out there now that he's back from the G League and see if maybe there's anything that he's put together this season between working out in Portland and being in the G League. So quite a few things to figure out there, quite a few reasons to still tune in, even if the playoffs are out of reach. And obviously, the other thing that is at stake, which you probably are already well aware of, If the Blazers do not make the postseason this year, which it seems like they will not, they get to keep their pick that would otherwise go to the Chicago Bulls as part of the Larry Nance Jr. trade. At some point in time, Portland is going to have to convey that pick. There's been talk about how having the protections on that pick keeps them from being able to trade future picks, and would it be better to actually just convey that pick so you can trade future picks? I don't know exactly what's going to happen there. I would imagine that they'd rather have as many assets as possible going into this offseason, so I would assume that, one, they will have their own pick, assuming they don't make the postseason, and they also get the pick from the Knicks, assuming that the Knicks do make the postseason, which it seems almost assuredly that they will. Though if you're a Blazer fan, you'd like to see the Knicks maybe fall back in the table a little bit, as it would improve their draft pick. So still plenty of things to pay attention to for the Trailblazers, even if making the postseason, again, becomes more and more difficult. All right, before we wrap up this edition of The Briefcase, let's go ahead and hear from Jeremy Grant. 6'9 forward in his ninth season out of Syracuse is averaging 20.5 points on 48% shooting from the field and 40% shooting from three, which is a career best, by the way. 4.5 rebounds and 2.4 assists in 35.7 minutes per game this season. Grant talks a bit about how he views his first season in Portland, both on and off the court, continuing to grow as a player, his role on the court and in the locker room, some of his off-court interests, being the best Super Smash Brothers player on the team, and what he'd like to see from the Trailblazers going forward. How would you say this season's gone for you?
I think it's going well. I think being able to get around the guys and establish a connection with them is huge, especially, you know, when you first get somewhere. So I think it's been going well in that aspect. I think definitely gotten a lot closer with, you know, a lot of the players, staff, and everybody around. So from that aspect of things, I think it's been going well.
From a personal perspective, how has living in Portland been for you? Obviously, coming from Detroit, kind of a little bit of a different environment there. So I'm curious how, from a personal level, that's gone for you.
It's been cool. An adjustment. The weather's definitely different. It rains a lot, but in Detroit, it snowed a lot. So it was a lot colder there, but, you know, it's just different. It's beautiful, though. Beautiful scenery, beautiful. It's a lot of nature out here. I didn't really get to experience the summer too much yet, but, yeah, it's beautiful here.
Ninth season in the league for you, going into your 10th next year. Do you feel like you're still growing as a player, and if so, how?
Definitely, without a doubt. I think I'm a bit of a late bloomer, and I've been growing every year. I think every year I get better, I think. And that's my goal, to reach my potential as a player. And I think I've been trending in the right direction. So I definitely expect to make a leap next summer, too.
Now, I guess that's kind of my next question, too. Like, what do you view as your role on this team?
I think it varies. I think energy, defensive stability, but also on the offensive end, you know, being able to be aggressive and create opportunities, not only for myself, but for others on the team. So that aspect of it. And then, you know, like I said, just being an anchor on the defensive end.
What about from the locker room perspective? Because I kind of asked you about this at media day, how you seem to be someone that people really have an affinity for and are drawn to you a bit. So I'm curious, from a locker room perspective, what do you view your role is, or your job is, in that perspective?
I think my role as a locker room guy is to keep everybody together. I lead by example, but I got a personal relationship with everybody. And I think, especially as being a vet and being the type of person I am, I think big role for me is to, you know, be the glue guy, keep everybody together, keep everybody motivated to keep going and keep winning.
What do you feel like the value of that is? Because I think it's easy enough to say, like, well, yeah, it's important to keep guys together, but I think that for some people it's hard to understand kind of the locker room dynamics. So I'm curious if you could expand a little more about kind of the importance of togetherness and having a locker room that has an affinity for each other.
Yeah, I would say a locker room that but everybody is on the same page is a winning locker room. It's a winning culture, and I definitely think culture is huge for a winning organization and a winning team. And I think we're definitely beginning to build that here, so it's nice. But it's extremely important. The best teams that have the best culture in their locker rooms are the best teams, like I said.
How would you view kind of where you're at in your life in total right now, not just in basketball, but kind of the way you view your entirety of your life?
I love my life, man.
It seems like it's a pretty good life, so that's kind of why I'm asking.
Yeah, life is good, man. It's beautiful. Every day, you know, I get to wake up and experience everything in its entirety. Extremely grateful. I don't know, man, life is good. Life is good.
What are some of the things you're into right now?
Typical stuff that I've been into: reading, video games, fashion, music. Not only listening to it, trying to, you know, play a few instruments, starting to play a few instruments. A little bit of everything, traveling, family's huge. So, yeah.
I've heard you guys talking about it before. Could you give me a little bit of a breakdown of who's good on this team in terms of Smash Brothers? Because I hear that that you're the top dog.
Yeah, when it comes to Smash Brothers, I'm that dude. I've been playing that my whole life with my brothers and stuff. But rankings on this team go me, Drew, then Nas. I think everybody else is below.
What's your style of play in Smash Bros? Who you play as, and what's kind of your approach?
I play as everybody. I'd usually do random, but my favorite is probably Pikachu. Super aggressive. Chase him off the cliff, trying to knock him out, everything.
So going forward, what's your hopes for this team, I guess?
Continue to turn in the right direction. I think that's something that's invaluable. And I think we got the right mindset for the team, and I think we're building, you know, a good culture. So I would say that, just continue to move forward and move in the right direction.
So there you go, some comments from the Trailblazers' most interesting man, Jeremy Grant. It's probably a mistake to make too many assumptions about what players might do in the future based off what they've said in the past. Obviously, there's no lack of examples of both teams and players saying one thing and then doing another. But I don't know, that sure doesn't sound like a guy to me who's planning his exit out of Portland. Obviously, that negotiation will have to take place. Jeremy and his representation will have to decide what's best for them. The Blazers will have to decide what's best for them. But I would imagine that there's some interest on both sides in bringing Jeremy back. Obviously, they didn't trade for Jeremy just to bring him in for one season, so we'll see how that plays out. But I think there's reasons for optimism there if you're a Blazer fan and a Jeremy Grant fan. By the way, that rumor about Jeremy and a certain well-known reality star? Not true, says Jeremy. Well, that is going to do it for the 30th edition of The Briefcase. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll be back later this week, at which point we might have slightly more clarity on how the final few weeks of Portland's season are going to play out, but we also might not have any more clarity at that point either. But all the more reason to like and subscribe to The Briefcase at this point, and also check out the newest episode of The Blazers Balcony, which is also coming out later on this week. So, thank you for listening. I am Casey Holdall. We'll talk to you later this week. Go Blazers!